Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 457. This is the Dull Roar edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Things have calmed down to kind of a dull roar in the productivity sense of the word. We are again trying to do a live taping over at live.caffeination.com. So if you happen to be available at roughly 11 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesdays, you can head on over and see the wonder that is the Caffeination Lair in all of its full, apparently gray, wood-paneled glory. And, you know, you can kind of join us. You can add some fun stuff into the episodes. You can kind of wander around as we meander through the different little articles that I'd like to talk about. And you can see me cursing at my cats every once in a while as they try and knock over the camera and do everything else they can to disrupt the show because they don't like having their food cut off at night. But I have pretty big cats. You'll kind of see, if you're watching the stream, eventually you'll see just kind of an eclipse and there's a little bit of fur at the end, and that's usually because one of my cats walked in front of the camera. All right, enough about that. You know, there's enough stuff about cats on the internet. You don't really need that much more. This is the Caffeination Podcast. We are the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. If you are looking for this episode or any of the other episodes similar to like this, but with different content, funnier jokes, I promise, you can head on over to www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com in case you were having a little trouble wiggling that all out. That's where they all came from. We are currently up with the social stream, the chat, and a whole couple of other things to hopefully kind of make this all work. So let's see if it actually works out. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find all the other member shows, including this one, over at techpodcasts.com. Everybody has agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content, and it's all over there. This also happens to be the first episode I've done in about a month and a half where we're not pimping for PodCamp Philly. That's why. Do you want to know why? It's because PodCamp Philly happened this past weekend. It's one of the reasons we've calmed down ever so slightly in the realm of things that had to get done. So if I didn't get my presentations done or if things didn't quite work out the way that they did, it's already over, so there's no use crying over spilled milk. I didn't quite get everything I wanted to do up and out the door, but you know what? I've had a fantastic time. Thank you ever so much to everybody who came to any of my sessions. I did one on podcasting basics, and we did another one on troubleshooting graphics. Now, this was a different graphics presentation than we did last year. Last year, the graphics presentation was more me talking and everybody else kind of, you know, at the end they asked questions, and there's a lot of, I guess, room for interpretation in the graphics world on different things that are happening. And I think it's kind of interesting that you have so many different shows out there and so many different things that are relying on graphic content that's out there, and not very many people talk about what a good way to go about doing any of that is. So that's what I tried to provide to this year. Basically, we pulled people's stuff up on the screen behind us, and we you know, good-natured in a good-natured fashion tried to rip into each other and say, hey, this isn't working. I think you might want to try in this. It was such a great and open-ended session that I ended up copying the same format for our basics of podcasting. Say, hey, what do you people need to know? We had one or two technical questions, a lot of other people who just didn't understand exactly what podcasting was and how they could get started. And one of the questions I am going to share with you right now before I edit up the audio and actually release the second session. Don't want to release the graphics one because I had a lot of visual stuff and I really didn't tape it. But one of the things that I think is really kind of important to pass out there to everybody, one of the things that I'd like to pass out there to everybody is that podcasting, there is no right or wrong way to do it. There's a way to do it that, you know, you gotta have relatively high quality. There's a way to do it that I think is a better way than others, but there is no right and there is no wrong. There's nothing that should make you podcast. If you think it's a cool thing to do, then, you know, hey, please try it. People in the session got a little bit hung up on the fact that when they asked, why did I start podcasting? I said, well, I used to sit at home and say, hey, you know, it would be really cool if I was a DJ. And I used to play a little bit of music on the podcast. And they always kept saying, well, you know, for those of us who didn't want to be DJs, it's like, no, that's not the entire reason why I became who I am, but it is a good reason, as good a reason as any to start. I mean, if you think that your content would be enriched by allowing audio content to back it up, if you're a blogger, hey, give it a shot. If you'd like to have your chance at kind of getting comfortable in front of the mic, the only way to do it is through repetition. If you listen to any of my first 150 or 200 episodes, it's pretty bad when you compare it to the quality that we got now. And it's not just because, of the bad jokes or anything else. It's through repetition you get so much more comfortable in front of the mic and the camera, as the case may be for today, that it really kind of helps to smooth everything out. So hopefully that kind of got through to a couple people, and we can really increase the amount of awesome podcasts that are out there. So that's what I wanted to basically do. I was hoping to kind of foster the same kind of passion that I saw out there, and hopefully pull a couple other people in, see if we could get some new and cool podcasting content out there. All right, we have a fun little show lined up for you today. I've been spending so much time freelancing and wandering around every once in a while, I forget that I actually do have content planned, so it's kind of helpful. And I know I've talked about this before, but the way I do it is I usually go out and find all kinds of different stories. I have roughly 30 to 45 different news sources that I check with some kind of regularity. And then I just pull stories out of them and say, okay, I think I'm going to talk about this. This is where I'm going to link to this. And I usually try and do my best to make sure that the stories are true. I'm not saying that everything out there is 100%, above board, perfectly true. But, as far as I know, it is. If it's a joke, I'll let you know. But that's about all I can promise you. We don't spend a great deal of time going through and making sure everything is perfectly legit, but hey, you know what? You're dealing with a hobbyist media format, so that's why we are the way we are. So, all right, beyond all that boring stuff, I've had a lot of call. One of the things that we did at PodCamp Philly was that I gave out posters. Now, these are what I call social propaganda. I have really cool, I should have actually printed something out and had them behind me now on the show, but maybe I'll do that for next week. But I printed a couple of them out, and we had them as giveaways, and there were a couple that really well received, and I was actually kind of proud of. So people kept asking, where can I go to buy these? Where can I go to buy these? So I went out and went over to DeviantArt and actually got a premium account from them again, and I have the ability to sell prints anywhere from 4x6 all the way up to, I think, 24x18. So they're staggered in price all the way up and down. So if you'd like to help support the Caffeination Podcast, you can head on over there and purchase prints from those. I think there's actually 3 different prints that are up there, and there's going to be a couple other ones that are out there as well. For instance, one of the things that really went across well is I actually gave away a print of our zombie plan that we came together. So and there's some fun people in the chat room, so you owe it to yourself to come over. Hi, Norbert, how's it going? Now you're on a horse. If you haven't had a chance, you need to head on over to you need to head on over to Norbert's podcast, totallycooltech.com. Specifically, the last episode he did, I actually did a little bit of a commercial for Norbert. And if you haven't heard his commercial for me, you need to go back a couple episodes. I actually need to cut it up and replace and push it out just as that. I think I have the audio cut out somewhere, so I'm going to put both of them up, or he's going to put his up and I'm going to put mine up as a separate entity, because they're just that awesome. He did a takeoff of the Dos Equis Most Interesting Man in the World for me. It's the most caffeinated man in the world. And I did a takeoff of the Old Spice the Mustafa ads where he's like, now I'm on a horse, the guy in the bathroom. So that's him. So your show could sound like his, but it doesn't. And now we have another person in the chat room. So, hey, Jeff, how's it going? All right, we have a lot of cool stuff to get through here, so we're going to head on down the lane to Geekcraft, so hopefully you can wander in there. We're going to talk a little bit about the prints that I mentioned, again, a little bit further down in the show. So hopefully everybody's going to... Yeah, I love these. I got to say, just as a complete aside that's going to stay in the episode, I love the ads that Ustream is running, the 30 to 40 second pre-roll ads that now pop up on top of everything, because they make everything just so useful to actually, view. It's kind of hard to do anything when they're playing, so it's pretty ridiculous. So who knows, until we come up with our own streaming solution, it is what it is, so... All right, we have a lot of real fun stuff to talk about. Up first in the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast is Nintendo creates its own Pokemon bus. Well, if you're like me and you're not really into Pokemon, but you can kind of recognize some of the different things that are out there, then you might be able to actually recognize this. It's a version of Pikachu that was turned into a school bus. What I actually thought was pretty interesting about this was that this wasn't just a one-off that some fan did or some crazed teenager or whatever. A bunch of parents that got together. This was actually done by Nintendo Corporate in Germany, and it was done to promote the new Pokemon movie. So they actually created something called Pokemon Day Tour, and they sent this thing running around Germany. Hopefully it didn't go on the Autobahn, but you just can't resist the little pika pika. All right, that was just kind of insane, so I had to share it with the group. Next little thing that we got up for you here, one of my favorite websites, I actually talked about it in one of my graphics sessions, is called informationisbeautiful.net. It's a nice long thing, but it's an incredibly descriptive name. I actually have here it is. I actually have the book, The Visual Miscellaneum, by David McCandless here. This is the same guy who did the website Information is Beautiful, and trust me, it is actually incredibly beautiful and incredibly colorful. But beyond that, he actually recently put out something that's really cool. It's over on Flickr if you really want to check it out. But what we have here is who is suing who in the realm of telecoms. Now, everybody seems to be suing everybody, and there doesn't seem to be a day that goes by without hearing, Nokia suing Apple, Apple suing Nokia, nobody likes LG, Sharp, Hitachi, RIM, Microsoft, everybody's all up in this, and Oracle and Google, rather, are fighting over Java. And it's not the kind of Java that we usually talk about here on the episode. But this is just such a cool little diagram that, if in case you're ever wondering exactly where we are at any given point in time, David has actually come together and found a really interesting way of checking everything out. The only one that I haven't been able to see is whether or not SCO is on there. They have a long-standing lawsuit against different Unix manufacturers, so it's always wonderful and fun to see. So I don't know if it's necessarily a plagiarizing. It might just be a different version of it, because there's actually two people who ended up working on it, David McCandless and James Key. So they're calling it version 1.0. They're saying that there's other documents that are out there from both The Guardian and The New York Times. So it's quite possible that they're based on them, but they have a little bit more information in there. So, all right. Moving right along to the next little fun thing that we got for you here. 5 and 6 DPI glasses. Now, if you've seen the one of the trends, for some reason everything from the 80s is popular again. Hence my t-shirt that I'm currently wearing today. It's called Plastic Heroes. It actually has the likes of Optimus Prime, Voltron, Hulk Hogan, Leonardo from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, He-Man, a whole bunch of other fun people on it. But beyond that, there's some of the fashion trends that are kind of coming around as well. And it's really kind of odd and slightly disconcerting, except when you consider some of the trends in eyewear, like the ones with like the little window shades going across. Now people are kind of trying to bring back the feel of things, I guess, without actually bringing back trends that actually existed back then. And one of the trends that is sort of there but not entirely back yet is actually pixelated glasses. And if you're looking at these, and the cat's jumping around button right now, if you're looking at these right now, you're actually seeing kind of interesting little glasses that are sort of meant to look like they had been made out of pixels. The only thing is that each one of them is roughly $256. I like them, but I don't like them $256 worth. In fact, I'm pretty sure that if I came up with something very similar, I could load this into the laser cutter at work and make it out of a single sheet of plexi and just spray paint it, and I think they'd probably do just around as well. Kind of ridiculous overall. But for $256, the glasses are going to have to do a little bit more than just look really stupid. All right, now the next little thing that we got up for you here, magnets are kind of the image of the day that's being put out over at device.com. They actually have a super-powered magnet that sits behind your head and has the ability to turn right-handed people into left-handed people. Now, why would you do this other than hoping to even out the ratio and hopefully make scissors that actually work for people with left hands? Well, you might want to try this this because there's certain people who actually lack either a right or a left hand, but unfortunately their brain is wired to use the other hand. I actually know somebody like this. It's a young guy who, unfortunately, through a certain set of circumstances earlier in his life, he actually lost his right hand completely. It's all the way down to basically his elbow. The doctors have said that basically he would probably have been right-handed, but now the only hand that he has to be functional, so he has to basically end up as left-handed. Well, the entire thing behind it just seems to be a little weird. I'm not entirely sure how using a magnet actually does this, and I'm sure there's a lot more science behind it than that, but I really can't imagine volunteering for a study that puts like a super magnet behind your head and says, yeah, we're just going to try and rewire things randomly, because magnets are not necessarily the most gentle tools, I guess you could say. They're kind of more of a kludge, like trying to hit a nail into a little bit of trim with a sledgehammer. So I think with the brain, you might want a little bit of a finer touch. So Jeffrey, it does sound similar to polarity left and right, but it can't be that simple. It can't be just, we just flip the poles on your brain and you're all right. I wonder if it would taste different to a zombie. All right, so I am going to be passing the story along to my friends. Hopefully it gets to be a much more refined tech in the future. But it is kind of interesting to see that somebody out there is playing around with just crazy things like that. All right, next little thing we have up for you here. On the last show, I talked about the Peanuts Moleskine, or Moleskine, depending on how you like them. Basically, they are little sketchbooks, diary pads, whatever you want to call them, and they have a very interesting construction. There's a lot of artists who use them, a lot of architects as well from my department use Moleskines as well. And it's kind of weird because there's a lot of different anniversary editions that are coming out of these things right now. And the latest one to actually come out is Pac-Man. You heard it. Pac-Man is 30. So the 30th anniversary edition of Pac-Man came out recently. This past, I think May was actually the anniversary. And then they are actually releasing a set of different Moleskines that are out there. I am begging my wife for this for Christmas. I love the idea of this. They also have thicker ones. These are called the Volant notebooks. Basically, they're really thin ones, and they have different stickers and stuff that come with them. I really kind of think they're cool, and they're slated for the release the end of October. What does not list here, what is going to be listed on my site when I actually talk about them a little bit more, is that you can get them from Amazon. So if you head on over to Amazon, you can pre-order them, and they are a little bit discounted. So that's all good in the hood, so to speak. All right, moving on to the next cool thing that we got for you here. XKCD, the website that you can't really say too quick because it doesn't really figure out to be anything easily pronounceable, has put out a new online communities map. Basically, Facebook, Farmville, map of online communities, spring and summer 2010. It is a massive map that has a whole bunch of different things. It's kind of done in the style of a lot of the fantasy maps that are out there, but it reeks of XKCD. Beyond that, it also shows you the same kind of sketchy style that he uses for pretty much everything else, but it has things like the Sea of Opinions, Twitter, Skype, QQ, which I was unaware of, the MMO Island, which has its own little fiefdoms of World of Warcraft, and I haven't been able to see Second Life on there, and I'm actually a little bit happy about that, which means I was right. After all these years, Second Life still is not an important player in anything other than geek fantasies, so I thought that was pretty cool. There's a much larger version of it out there on the internet, so I just wanted to share it with you in case you wanted to see it. All right, moving right along. The next little cool thing that we got for you here is an anatomy lesson. The Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. I tried to think of something, the most harmless thing. I tried something I loved from my childhood, something that could never, ever possibly destroy us. Mr. Stay Puffed, as Dan Aykroyd would say, or Ray from Ghostbusters. So somebody over at Nerd Approved found it, and it just looks kind of creepy. It's basically a way of taking apart an existing cartoon entity and turning them into a little bit of an anatomy lesson. So it shows you where the skeletal pieces would be under there. It shows you where certain kind of fake organs would be. I like this, but this might be a little bit of a stretch. I think it's a kind of an interesting idea. Maybe they might have even wanted to do some kind of strange tumor growing up into the hat. But it's an interesting idea and probably more of an interesting exercise for some of the art students and stuff out there, like how you can build a skeletal system below a fake creature. I mean, I've seen a like the comic book paleontology where they, you know, they did a Fred Flintstone skeleton, Scooby-Doo, and all the other ones. And those are kind of in the same vein as this. But this appears to be much more of a 3D concept. I hope they can actually, you know, you can actually buy this, because I think that would be kind of fun, especially if it actually came intact and allowed you to take it apart. I mean, I think that would be kind of neat overall. All right, next little thing that we got for you here is a pretty cool idea. The entire Star Wars trilogy broke down on paper in animation in under 2 minutes. Now, this is, of course, the good part of Star Wars. I think I said Star Wars, hopefully not Star Trek at the beginning of this, but either way. It's actually episodes 4, 5, and 6, so if you have the time, and which is under 2 minutes, I highly suggest you head on over to Nerd Approved and actually check it out. I think it's pretty cool. It's all done through like cut-up construction paper, and it just goes through relatively quickly, so I thought it was pretty funny. Next little thing we got up for you here, Long Reach Buoyancy Deployment System wins the 2010 James Dyson Award. Now, this is a bazooka for Baywatch, or it's something a little bit less racy. I think this is kind of interesting. Basically, it's a way of deploying life rafts and life preservers at 150 meters. Now, that's pretty impressive. That's quite a ways out there. And if you're actually looking at some of the different stills that they've put out of the system so far, it really does look like a double-barreled bazooka. And so you can basically take the thing with you and then shoot it out, and the capsules that actually come with it, they're calling it hydrophobic foam, so I guess it's afraid of water, but pretty much as soon as it hits the water, it inflates. The only thing that I'm worried about is if you have really bad aim and you knock somebody out with one of these, it might not be the best thing. I think it's kind of interesting because there's a couple different contraptions that go with it. First of all, it firing a life buoy out that far is pretty cool, because, you know, it allows you a little bit extra time to actually get to somebody who might need it. And then again, you could also probably lay down a suppressive fire if there was a beach invasion. But beyond that, there's also other things that are actually in there. So for instance, there's warning beacons, there's emergency flares, and all these other kinds of things to really help out the needy. And I think it's kind of neat. And apparently the guy's from Sydney, and it doesn't really put out a donut ring as so much as a half horseshoe, kind of like an elbow macaroni of life-saving goodness. So I think there's only 2 shots per each one. I'm not entirely sure how the whole thing works, but I do like it. I think this is a kind of a nifty, innovative little way. And I also think it might be kind of interesting to be there during some of the training demonstrations, especially at the beach when they have like the college kids doing it, because you know they're going to play life raft tag. Hey, man, see how far out you can swim. You see if I can nail you. All right. Next little thing that we got for you here is, all right, you thought the remote was important before in your little TV wars. I got something else for you. Your marriage may actually be at stake here with Sony's Google TV remote. Now, this remote is half remote, half controller, half goofy-looking cell phone. Now, Google TV is, you know, supposed to be a socially interactable TV. There's a lot of different content that's coming out, and most of the majors are not actually going to be on it when it first comes out. However, there's screenshots from a show, NBC Nightline, that actually showcases a full QWERTY keyboard, 2 little D-pads, the volume up, volume down, and all the other buttons that you'd expect from a truly versatile media remote. Now, here's the problem. My wife doesn't like me twittering at dinner and other things like that. She's like, why are you playing with your phone? Do you really think that it's going to be a good group viewing experience to have somebody constantly pulling up menus on the TV to type things to other people that they can't see? People if you live alone, or if you are viewing TV by yourself, yes, this is a good way. I routinely, when I'm watching Phillies games, I've had the laptop open. We've done things, where I'm talking to other fans in other areas. It's basically a way of being at a sports bar where you can talk to somebody else without ever going out. It's, I have kids. I'm not going to be going to a sports bar for every single game out there. It's also a lot cheaper to sit there on Twitter than to actually go out and buy food and drinks and all other kinds of stuff while you're watching the game. And you can actually hear a lot of the commentary. But it's also really kind of cool to talk to other fans. It creates a set of an area of community around whatever it is that you're doing. But the But the problem is TV itself, you know, the living room. I've talked a little bit about this when it comes to 3D TVs, but TV itself being a group viewing experience means as many people as you can cram into your living room are supposed to be able to watch TV. That really doesn't translate well into Twittering and Facebook updates and all these other stuff, because that would mean everybody would have to have their own little controller and everybody's little status messages are going to be popping up on the screen. And that's not probably the most conducive thing for a group viewing experience. The same thing kind of goes for those 3D glasses. You shouldn't need stupid glasses to view TV in your room, especially if they're $70. And especially on top of that, if everybody who comes into your house who wants to watch TV with you needs to have those glasses. Could you imagine holding a Super Bowl party where everybody had to bring their own 3D glasses just to watch it in 3D? You know it's going to happen sooner or later. I just don't want to be one of the people who helps it along. So I'm not going to be getting a 3D TV anytime soon. So, all right, moving right along. The next little thing that we got for you here is Germ Genie provides an always-on clean germ protection for public keyboards. Basically, it looks like a little checkout system over top of a keyboard that constantly irradiates it with ultraviolet light that kills germs. Now, it's good for certain things, bad for other things. On the one hand, you have the people of the world who are like George Carlin. You know, when I was a kid, we swam in raw, insert excrement joke there, and, you know, we were all fine. We all, you know, everybody has cancer now, but, you know, that's six of one, half a dozen of another. The other thing is people are a little bit too much on the clean side. People are washing their houses in bleach when they have tiny little kids, and it makes kids who are more susceptible to diseases. It makes people who you know, have never encountered really virulent diseases. It also makes any of the germs that can survive this gauntlet that we've set up that much more powerful. Now, I'm not saying after you go to the bathroom, you shouldn't wash your hands. I'm not saying if you're in a hospital, you shouldn't wash your hands. What I'm saying is constantly cleaning absolutely everything around you to within an inch of its life is probably a bad thing. So that being said, there are certain environments where things like the Germ Genie would probably be a good idea. But, yeah, I know, Carlin died, heart attack, but then again, if you do that much cocaine, then I'm pretty sure that kind of null and voids any kind of germ prebiotics that you put in your system. The other thing is, if you really kind of look at the systems that people have had in place, usually, you know, when you have a kid who's homeschooled or something like that, and then they go out into the world and they start experiencing, you know, large group interaction and large social interaction, they usually get a lot sicker quicker. But then again, it's like you have somebody like our kids who are going to daycare right off the bat. They get sick horribly for the first couple years and then build up an immune system that's pretty, pretty impressive. So, you know, the only thing that really knocks me out right now is the architecture studios are kind of like petri dishes. So nobody washes. Everybody comes in sick and they live there constantly. So it's an ever swirling miasma of disease and viruses and other kinds of nasty stuff. So that's the one area where I would, you know, Lysol to within an inch of its life. So, all right, moving right along to the next little thing that we got for you here. Solar panels are coming to the White House in 2011. Now, leaving all political wrangling aside, whether or not you're one side or another, that doesn't matter. I kind of think it's an interesting idea that they're actually taking the solar panels and putting them on the White House. There's two things that I would like to see happen. The first thing that I would like to see happen is them to actually put out how much it costs to put the solar panels on there, how much electricity they're going to generate, and whether or not it offsets the amount of electricity that the White House actually uses it. For instance, if it can actually become a zero-sum game, like where they're generating enough electricity from the roof to actually compensate for all of the gadgetry and other stuff that's in the house itself, that would be really, really cool. Now, you take that and then you compare it to things like how much it's going to cost to put it up there. Then you start to say, okay, well, is this actually going to work for the average home? I forget how much it would cost to cover my house. And I have a relatively small row house. So if it would take, you know, let's just say $15,000 to $20,000 to cover my roof, my electric bills for the next couple years would have to be paid for completely after I did that in order for me to even consider it. So while I like the idea of it doing it, I think the technology is not quite to the point. We don't have enough efficiency in storing the electricity and in actually capturing enough of the sun's light within the solar panels to actually really go for it whole hog. But let's just see what happens with the White House. I'm kind of interested to see exactly what comes out overall. So, yeah, it's true. There is nothing coming out of their pocket. It's all at taxpayers' expense. So I kind of would really like to see the actual cost breakdown. So it's kind of interesting to make a statement. It's wonderful to kind of put it out there and say, hey, you know, we should be living much more of a green lifestyle. But at the same point in time, if it's so cost inefficient that it's ridiculous, then that's pretty bad. The one thing that I have actually kind of seen in when it comes to solar panels is using solar panels to store up electricity during the day, putting them in battery powers like the UPSs and stuff like that, and then at night they run air conditioners off that to actually freeze water around the cooling units so that during the day they're not running the compressors, they're running everything through the blocks of ice. It's this crazy mishmashed system that I've seen talked about, but it kind of takes what's plentiful during the day, which is heat and light, and turns it into energy for use at night to create the easier way of making ice, which it actually, you know, helps out air conditioning units. So I don't think we have any of them on Temple's campus, and if we do, I'm going to try and get in with some of the building engineers to take some photos, because I just think that's really cool. All right, next little thing we got for you here from over at hackaday.com is mini pinball is all pixels. It's a how-to of a build for a mini pinball cabinet. So I just thought it was really cool, and it's unfortunately incredibly nifty, and it's probably something that I would waste a lot of time trying to do. I'm not quite that much up on my programming and electronics doodaddery and not soldering and all that. You know, I'm good enough to where I can help a friend solder his electric guitar back together, probably help people fix amps and stuff like that. Not amps, but I can't really go in there and do a lot of heavy electronics work. That's just not my thing. But I wanted to pass it along to the group just in case anybody else thought it was that interesting. And then the next little thing that we got for you here is actually how to replace your landline with Google Voice. Now, I've had a lot of people ask me what Google Voice is. It's basically a way for a lot of different phone numbers to use the same phone number. So it's kind of a way of like sharing out voice connections. So for instance, if you have a cell phone, your wife has a cell phone, and you have, you know, an extra line in there somewhere, if you replaced your landline with a Google Voice number, every time somebody called your house, which is the Google Voice number, it would ring everybody's cell phone or any of the other numbers that you have in place, including your office, wherever. You can also do call outs through the same thing. This is kind of interesting because that would kind of eliminate a lot of the problems that we've had trying to get service done through Comcast and other vendors, because they're like, oh, well, we need to call and confirm that you're actually at your house. Well, if I'm using a Google Voice number, I could basically be anywhere. So there is that. So I have linked a article from over at gizmodo.com for how they suggest that you replace everything with Google Voice. Now, I have not yet seen the multiple accounts being used together. For instance, I have two different Google Voice accounts, and unfortunately, they both still use two different Gmail accounts. So if it was possible to link multiple numbers in there, but hey, everything's free. So I have one linked directly to my Android phone, and I have another one for the voicemail for the podcast linked directly to its own voicemail. So if you go to 215-240-1319, which is a free call from inside Gmail, you can leave a voicemail for the Caffeination Podcast, then hey, we can play it. I've had a couple really odd voicemails from the things. Like, there was this, I'll explain it later, but there was this one 4-part voicemail where somebody was either speaking in Arabic or in Spanish, like really heavily accented Spanish that I couldn't even understand. And it was 4 messages, and each message had the message from before it being played in the background when some other new sound or noise was being played on top of it. So overall, it was an entirely crazy situation. I never ended up playing any of it because I don't know what it's saying, and I'm not going to do that. All right, and then the last two little links that we got for you here inside the Geek Cruft section at the Caffeination Podcast are the two posters that I did for PodCamp Philly, and they are the first one, which is the Podcast Air Supremacy, and they have prices from anywhere from 16x24 for $25 all the way down to $1.99 for the 4x6. And then they have the visual impact one, which is I actually really like that one. So So these are two of the things that I did for PodCamp Philly. There's going to be a couple of the other ones going up there. I just wanted to kind of showcase that. In case there was anybody out there who really wanted to get one of those designs, there's now an easy way to do it. All right, moving right along, we have a couple little things, then we're going to head you out on your way. October's Fair Trade Month. Fair Trade Month overall, it's not just about coffee. So if you are wondering exactly what Fair Trade Month is, it's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month and every other kind of awareness month that you can possibly imagine. But I have linked up a story on exactly what Fair Trade is, and it doesn't just relate to coffee. It's Fair Trade tea, Fair Trade chocolate, Fair Trade absolutely everything you can imagine. The idea behind it is basically paying a livable wage to the people who actually go and create the products. So it's handicrafts, coffee, cocoa, sugar, tea, bananas, honey, cotton, wine, fresh fruit, chocolate, flowers, and gold. So I never even heard of fair trade gold. That's an interesting concept that probably bears a little bit of a separation from the others. But it's an interesting concept in that a true capitalist society kind of works on, you know, producing things for as little money as possible and selling them for as much. This kind of goes against it just a little bit and says, okay, you know what? As somebody who really enjoys coffee, I'm willing to pay somewhat more of a premium for the guarantee that any extra money goes back to the communities that created the products in the first place. Now, they're not just, you know, helping people till coffee fields or anything like that. They're also creating schools. They're creating, you know, more viable economic markets surrounding these environments so that in case the coffee crop is bad one year, the entire town doesn't collapse, which happens. So it's a very good thing to be aware of. Next little thing that we got up for you here, something completely ridiculous, but something awesome as well. And that is actually a brain snack from over at randomgoodstuff.com. It's a interesting little thing for Halloween. It's actually a two-part brain snack with a little bit of a blood filling. So you have the gelatinous bottom, the gelatinous top, and then you can add your own little blood in the middle. So it's called a gummy brain, but hey, I just thought it was pretty funny to pass along. And then the next thing, again, from over at Random Good Stuff is actually awesome. I really, really want these because I think they're that cool. They're called Yumbots. They're basically robots that hold your cupcakes on the top. For some reason, cupcakes are huge right now. Now, I'm not entirely sure why. Maybe it's because they're, you know, tiny little compact things. Maybe it's because they're cupcakes and everybody likes cupcakes and everybody likes cake. And, you know, when you miniaturize them, everybody gets their own personal little cake, and that's pretty cool. But there's just so many different things that are out there that it's kind of interesting to see that cupcakes are really kind of taking off. There's like 15 different cupcake shows out there now. And, I'm not bad at making cupcakes. My wife is very, very good at it. So I'll leave that to her, and maybe I'll see if I can get some Yumbots up in this house to try out. Maybe have like an entire swarm of Yumbots behind me as I talk. That would be kind of cool. All right, next little thing that we have up for you here, second to last little thing before we head you out on your way, is coffee leaf rust. Now, I was unaware of this, but there's actually a fungus / blight that exists on coffee plants, and it's currently affecting different varietals that are out there. And there's a very kind of sobering article available over at jim7.com where James Hoffman kind of gives you all of the information he knows about coffee leaf rust, what it is, what people are doing to kind of prevent it. And it's kind of an educational piece. Now, I don't want to really go into the ins and the outs of it because I haven't done a lot of the research myself, but I did want to kind of point you in the general direction. So if you're concerned about different things like that and you're wondering about the different varietals that may be resistant to it, the only thing that they've actually put forth, and a couple people have actually mentioned it in the article, is that there are certain varieties that are incredibly resistant to this, but they actually taste a lot worse than the ones that are not. The one good thing that you can do to actually support coffee that is resistant to it is actually by shade-grown coffee, because apparently coffee that's actually grown in full sun is a lot more susceptible to the fungus because it's more of a stressed plant. So if you're supporting fair trade and shade-grown coffee, then you are supporting coffee that's much more easily sustainable in the long run, and it's also going to be a little bit more blight-free. So that's really kind of cool, and it's an interesting way to take on the whole fair trade month thing. So I just wanted to pass it along. And then the the last little thing that we got for you here is the last little thing that we got for you here is bottled bud buzz, or at least that's what we're calling over at trendhunter.com. Dixie Elixirs is actually offering soda for medical marijuana use. Now, there's good and bad parts about this. The good part is everybody's getting a good laugh about this. They're calling it Dixie Elixirs, man. There's a pot leaf on the bottle, man. Cheech and Chong are having a great time. Yes, you do need a prescription for this. And no, it's not available in Pennsylvania, so I won't be trying it and won't be telling you I don't got glaucoma. However, on the flip side, it kind of introduces marijuana into a kind of a fuzzy area where it's very easy for people to kind of take it in the wrong way and say, oh my God, look, they're marketing it to kids because it's soda. Well, you're not supposed to be giving your kids soda anyway. At least that's what all the nannies are saying anyway. So I'm interested to see how the public at large takes this new product. It's probably going to be one of those little flash in the pan things where it comes out and then goes away because either it's not as potent as the other stuff that people are needing it for actual medical uses, or it creates kind of an unwanted buzz and actually creates kind of an unwanted attention on the subject in a way that harms the medical marijuana case. So if you are for legalization of marijuana in any of its forms, I'm always kind of curious to see what other people think of a product such as this and how it actually affects the fighting the good fight beyond all that. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination episode number 457. Thank you ever so much for listening. If you're looking for this podcast, it's found over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, please feel free to fire an email off to caffeination@gmail.com. Thank you ever so much for listening, even though I already said it, and stay caffeinated, people.